If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Hey, I want to thank you for letting us invade your brain matter today. It's good to be with you. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, on Spotify. And, you know, I listen and I do subscribe, you know, and it's a double-edged sword. I mean, they pay very little per stream. And it's you're going to hear songwriters and artists complain about it, but you have to be there. And to tell you the truth, I'm kind of addicted because what I do is I find a song that I like and I add it to my starred playlist and then it comes up again and again and again. So anyway, I wanted to mention to you, if you have Spotify, that there is the songs from this show there. Every week on Wednesday when we publish a new show, I go into Spotify and I take some of the songs from the artists that we just featured and I put it on this playlist. So if you ever want to hear those songs again, they're there. Go to Spotify, The Songwriter Connection. Songwriter Connection, The Songs is what that playlist is called. And thank you. And that brings me to what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about terrestrial radio today. And I know that, I wonder how relevant it is today. You know, I was a child of the 70s, and you didn't go anywhere without your radio. Radios were your tune to find out where the cool bands were, turn it on to new music all the time. Every big city had their own gonzo FM station with broad playlists and laid-back kind of jocks, you know, that all became rock stars. I grew up in WMMS in Cleveland. I can still tell you every DJ. There was Jeff Kinsmock in the morning, and there was Matt the Cat in middays. And then there was Kid Leo, who went on to work for Columbia Records. And then there was Denny Sanders, my hero and idol in the radio business. And then there was Betty Crash Corvin, who passed away just a couple of years ago. And then all night long, the BLF Bash, and he'd always about midnight, one or two in the morning. If you're up that late, you could hear Maggot Brain by Parliament Funkadelic. What a jam that was. So those were the days. And I'll tell you what, they had broad playlists, and I could really get turned on to new music. And there was all kinds of new music that they would turn you on to. And they played local artists. I mean, people like, I grew up in Cleveland, so it was like the Michael Stanley Band. Michael Stanley was great, and Alex Bevan and John Sebastian for folk music. And they used to do this show every Wednesday called the Coffee Break Concert, where they take a local artist and they bring him to the Agora in Cleveland, and they'd sit down and do a whole concert for you, and people would go. And there's a station that's doing that, kind of the same thing, here in Nashville. And this is my favorite terrestrial radio station. It's WMOT. You've heard me talk about it. WMOT is in Murfreesboro. They are they're part of the MTSU campus, and the radio station's awesome. Big, broad playlist, not like the corporate, highly researched, you know, just a few songs. These guys turn you on to all kinds of new music, and I bet you 60% of my starred playlist come from songs that I hit Shazam while I'm, sometimes while I'm driving, I hate to admit, because it's a song I like, and then I'll find it on Spotify and add it, and it keeps coming around and around. So I tell you all this to introduce our guest today. I listen to MOT a lot, and on Fridays, they do this little, I don't know what they call it. I don't even know what it is.
It's Finally Friday.
Finally Friday. Well, thank you for that. And I like listening to that, and I like listening to their jocks and everything. Whip Wilder always does the Americana countdown. And so Finally Friday. And I love listening to that on Friday. You never know who you're going to hear. So I am driving, running some errands, and I wanted to tell you, I lost my mother quite recently, February 2nd. So it was the Friday leading in. I got the call that morning. My father said, you know, you better get home. You better come home. He goes, I know you have a show Saturday night. We want to watch that. My mother and dad would never miss that because it usually streamed. And he goes, I want you to play that track. I go, no, I want to come. I'm going to come right now. He goes, no. Talk to hospice. It's going to be fine. You just come Sunday morning. I'm like, whatever you want to do, Dad. And so I'm like, pressure's on to do a great show, play one of my mom's favorites, one of my dad's favorites, you know. So it's Friday, and I got all that on my mind, wishing I could just pack up and go. And I'm listening to Finally Friday on WMOT, and I hear this beautiful voice. And the song ends, and she talks a little bit. And she plays this song, and I want to get the story behind this song after I introduce you to her. She plays this song called If God Would Have Waited. And I am in the car going, oh my God, the whole first verse of that song is just like, it just took me away. I mean, it just was exactly what I was feeling at the time. So I got home and I found the artist online and I texted her. And I knew her from a couple of rounds. In fact, I think she even played one of my rounds that I hosted. And I knew that I always loved her talent and her voice. And I said, just... I heard you on Finally Friday, amazing show. There's a song you did that just blew me away. And she responded back to me. I'm like, great. And we set up a time to write. We were going to write a song. But a couple weeks ago, I'm at the gym on the ab machine and I'm listening to my Spotify playlist. And this artist comes around in the song, If God Would Have Waited. And I'm sitting on that machine. And tears are running down my eyes. People are staring. I'm like, allergies, terrible. It's time to get allergies. They're killing me. Well, her name is Ty Shan, and she is here. Ty, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. What you need to know that I did leave out is that Sunday morning, Patty and I, we drove to Ashland, Ohio. It's between Columbus and Cleveland, where my mom and dad live. And usually it's about an 8.5-9 hour drive. We made it in 7 hours because as we got into Cincinnati, my sister-in-law texts and says, you better get here. Don't stop. Do not stop. So 90 all the way up, 71 until we got there. And we made it in time to say goodbye. God waited, and so did my mom. And about a half hour after we got there, Ty Sheep passed away. So all that was coming back to me as I'm listening to that song on my Spotify playlist that day. Ty, welcome to the show. And tell us about that song. And then we're going to get into your journey and more of your great music. Thank you for that, by the way. I want to thank you for that.
That one thing I really love about this song is just the stories that I get to hear from people. This song has been one of those ones that after a show, you know, I get to hear people come up and they say, can I talk to you?
Yeah.
And so I've heard immense stories of loss from people. And the thing is that's where we're all connected.
Yeah.
We're all going to be losing the person that we love the most.
Yeah.
And it's hard because like our culture really focuses on youth and growth. And when it comes to the sunset times, when we have to say goodbye, it's like we're ill-prepared for it.
We are.
Yeah.
How do you prepare yourself? You just can't.
No, I don't think so. So a little backstory of this song. It took me a long time to write. And it's written from the perspective of my friend Linda. Linda Waterfall was a wonderful musician. And her husband was sick, and they thought that maybe he had the flu. He was having like stomach problems, and they went into the ER. And 4 hours later, she walked out alone. Mm. He died of a blood clot.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, in the ER.
That quick?
That quick.
Wow.
And there was all these pieces to it. They found out that he also had cancer, and they were like, we need to start him on radiation right away. And then like right when she was like, okay, maybe we'll do radiation, he died.
Oh my goodness.
And so a week later, after his death, her phone died. and she said, I'm going to go to the Verizon store and get a new phone. And I said, Linda, let me go with you, because sometimes it's really complicated and you just lost your husband. Let me go. And for some weird reason, they were like, yeah, you got to delete a bunch of photos off your phone before we move you to this next phone. So there we are in the Verizon store going through 23 years of photos.
Oh, no.
Yeah, with her. And anyway, so a year later, when Linda passed, I was like, I have to write a song about this feeling that when you lose somebody that you really, really love, you know, because there's all the things that we want to have accomplished with this person, vacations we could have taken, you know, time sitting around the campfire, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
Gosh, can we hear it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I am solo in the light. Other tuning, so let me get into the right tuning.
Now, while you're doing that, did you write this all by yourself?
Yeah, this is a solo write.
Yeah, okay. Because I know you do some co-writing, too, with our friend Hal Odell and others. And Elizabeth Eckert, who's a really cool and good songwriter. So.
I think we got it.
You got it?
Yeah, make sure.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful guitar, by the way. What is that?
Oh, this is a custom Taylor.
It's a Taylor, huh?
It's a Taylor. They only made 300 of these.
Wow.
And so, yeah, last time I got it fixed, the luthier was like, oh, that's gone up in value, because they only made a couple of them.
Is that your name up on the headstock?
No.
No. What is that?
That's it's R. Taylor. That's
R. Taylor. Like a signature.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, right?
Okay, awesome.
Oh, and speaking of which, and I know people do it to me all the time, Tyshawn is how you pronounce my last
name. Tyshawn.
Instead of Shan.
I'm sorry about that. While you're talking about that, Tyshawn.
Yeah.
It's a very unique and interesting name, one you don't forget. If you Google that, first thing that comes up is sacred mountain.
Yes.
Tell me about your name.
I'm named after a mountain in China.
Are you?
Hence the mountain that you got. Yeah, my parents named me after my dad's best friend's hometown.
Okay.
So there's a town, Tyshawn. Tyshawn. Right next to the town is the mountain, Tyshawn.
I'll be darned.
So it's one of the seven magical mountains of China. And so, yeah, that's one white girl with an Asian name. But it was connected to my dad's, you know, best friend. So
I feel so bad now to mispronounce your name.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
The first thing I do is mess up your name.
It happens all the time.
Should have threw a pen at me or something, you know? Don't let that ever happen again. Tyshawn has got our song right here that we talked about. And it's going to hit you hard. So I'm just telling you right now.
I'm not ready to talk. They say sorry for your loss. They keep asking how'd it happen. I'm not ready to be open. It's a whirlwind since your last breath. I keep spinning around trying to catch it. I hear your voice every second. I can't help but wonder, what if heaven had waited? You would be here with me if angels were sleeping. If St. Peter lost his keys, if you can hear me, I know that you'd agree. No moment left wasted if heaven had waited. In a heartbeat, I quit this job. Take the road trip that we planned on. We go dancing in that one place. Laugh like we did in the old days. Use our savings on an RV. Spend each sunrise to sunset beside me. No regrets, no excuses. excuses. Just thankful to know the truth is, if heaven had waited, you would be here with me. If angels were sleeping, if St. Peter lost his keys, if you can hear me, I know that you'd agree. No moment left wasted, if heaven had waited. And I know it's naive to think I'll get our future back. All I can do is talk this out to your photograph. If heaven had waited, ooh, ooh, and if you can hear.
Kick about the line that sets up the hook for so long. No moment is wasted if heaven had waited. That's just beautiful. And a beautiful melody.
Thank you.
Thank you for that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for, you know, shining a little light on it.
My pleasure. Let me tell you folks a little bit about Tyshawn, as we find out. She's a Nashville songwriter and a music educator. We're going to pick your brain a little bit today. She has been featured in Billboard magazine with her music, American Songwriter, the American Americana UK. You spell the Americana charts. She's played on NPR. She's toured the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Has performed for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, even for the Pope one time. Yeah. Did I read?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, that had to be fantastic.
John Paul II. So it was a few years back.
Do you want to share that story?
Oh, sure. I was there with a group. I was part of some chamber singers. And so we were singing for the Italian president and for the Pope.
Wow.
And so we got to sing at the Basilica outside the walls.
Wow.
Which is super cool because it's got like about a 15-second delay before your voice comes back to you in that building. But honestly, my favorite part, was we got to sing in the Vatican as well.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I was in my early 20s, and it was like the first time that I had just seen what the power of art can do.
Oh my God, really? And there's so much great art in the Vatican.
It's absolutely amazing
stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. And I remember looking up at the walls while we're singing, and we were doing this really like complex parts all mixed together piece, and all the notes were moving so slowly and beautifully into dissonance and the resolution. And I looked up at the walls, and I swear I saw all the people moving, all the paintings came to life.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Did you visit the Sistine Chapel? Did you go in there? Did you go inside?
What did I say?
You said the Vatican. You played inside the Sistine Chapel?
We played inside the Sistine Chapel. That's we did incredible. Play at the Vatican, too. But the Sistine Chapel is what I meant to say.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's incredible. I remember walking in there and getting the same feeling as when I first saw the Grand Canyon. You just can't describe the beauty unless you're there. And the sound, you're right, is incredible. In fact, they tell you, you're not supposed to talk. But people do. And you're not supposed to take pictures. But people do. And then all of a sudden, somebody will go, shh. And it'll be silent for like 30 seconds. People start talking again because you're just overwhelmed in there.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's so much beauty in there throughout the Vatican. The tour guide that I had, there was a statue I remember. And I want to say it could have been David or what, but it was just the torso was all left. And she pointed it out and she said, I want you to remember that shape. And I want you to understand that when Michelangelo first came across that, it was already ancient then to him, to him. And that's hard to believe. And he used that torso and on the very back wall of the Sistine Chapel, there's a picture of Jesus coming out, you know, and it's that torso. He painted it and put Jesus's head on that. So, such inspiration and such beauty at that place.
Agreed.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about your students have done some amazing things. One won the John Lennon songwriting contest, very prestigious. Mm-hmm. You've had them all kinds. Berklee School of Music went on after you. Oberlin Conservatory was right near where I grew up.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
USC. So I've had a student go to LA.
Yeah.
And major in music at USC.
Yeah.
American University as well. There's been a couple of them.
Wow.
Lots of major Chapman Music University. I've had a lot of students go on and make a career in music.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have an interesting style teaching, very unique success. I mean, it's successful, of course. So what do you do? Tell me about that.
Yeah, totally. So I teach voice, guitar, ukulele, and songwriting. And so when I work with my students, basically, the first thing I do is hear about what they want to accomplish. We set some goals.
Good.
And I'm always having them work towards their goals. Mm-hmm. And I'm always following the light. So I'm not one of those teachers that are like, you have to learn Beethoven. That's like the next step in the book. Yeah. We do some book work, but it's mostly because they're like, I want to learn to read music. And I'm like, okay, let's do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. You know? So, and then like yesterday, one of my students brought in a song that there was no chords online for, and there was, she couldn't figure it out. Mm. And so I go in and help them untangle it, help them figure it out.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We were transcribing a song last night together and figuring out, it was in a weird tuning. So, so I help my students follow the light. And wow. So if they want to learn cover songs, they learn cover songs. If they want to learn how to do a tour, I have a couple of students that are working on booking tours right now.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they want to go in and record their own album, I'm there for that too. It's like, it's a lot of just like set your pace, and have somebody there that has been there before and that can help show you the way.
And you are one that can do that because you have done the tour thing. I mean, from you came here from Seattle?
I did.
Okay. But you kind of secured this route. You played all the way finally to get here, right?
Yes, Canada, I did.
All the way down to Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a little travel trailer that's called the Scamp. And so during the summertime, I live in that, but the most that I've lived in it consecutively was about eight, maybe 9 months in touring at one point.
Yeah.
So,
and booking your own shows and
I am
doing the thing. Yeah, that's great. You lived on the beach in Mexico for a little while. You lived in a mountaintop overlooking some beautiful scenery. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's a major hack right there. The, the website recreation.gov allows you to, book things like lookout towers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, there's a fair amount of lookout towers and very creepy cabins around the United States. And for the most part, Mondays and Tuesdays are the worst days to book on a tour.
Really?
Yeah. They're money losing nights.
Okay.
It's hard to get a house concert, which I do a lot of house concerts. And it's hard to book a venue. You know, the pay is not good. So like Monday and Tuesday, I usually find some crazy place to stay. Mm-hmm. So I've stayed at Lookout Towers and seen the Northern Lights.
Oh, wow.
Run into cougars and moose and buffalo and
I hope you didn't run too close into them. Cougars are scary, man.
Cougars are really scary.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
So, wow. And you know what's so cool? You're living the dream that one of the dreams I've always had was to see the world with my music. And you've had a chance to do that, go around and see different areas, places that probably without your music you wouldn't have got a chance to see, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, one time I was traveling in Spain.
Yeah.
And I was using couchsurfer.com and part of my
There's such a
pitch.
Thing.
Yeah.
Couchsurfer.com.
Yeah, exactly. So like part of my pitch was I'll come play music for you guys and trade for accommodations.
How cool.
Yeah. And so I'm in Spain. I'm in Granada, which is this beautiful old town that's built into the hillside. And I'm getting out to the spot where I'm going to be hosted. And I did not know until I walked in that I was being hosted at a special Sufi school.
A Sufi school?
Yeah, it's where they do the swirling dervish.
Really?
Yeah, and they had, you know, a head leader, who did speeches and things. And so I got to be introduced to this culture that I never would have been introduced to. And in fact, I met a professor that was studying there at the same time, and he was like, how did you stumble into this?
Really? Yeah.
He was like, this is a special group. And I was like, gosh, you know, like I just offered to play a house concert for them for accommodation. And they said yes. And and their leader at the time was like, we want our students to be more exposed to all cultures. And so we wanted you to come in and play music.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you got so much in return for that.
Yeah.
You kind of switched cultures there.
Yeah.
Twirling dervishes. Wow. Interesting. Look that up. If you're not familiar, look them up. They're wild to watch.
Yeah. It's magical.
You brought me vinyl, new vinyl. I love you for that because I am a vinyl junkie. Tell us about Wildflower Moon. How long has that been out?
August. So it's brand new.
Brand spanking new.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Hasn't made it a year yet.
Yeah. So. Labor of Love. Where'd you record?
I recorded with Nielsen Hubbard for most of the songs besides three. Mm-hmm. And Nielsen Hubbard works with a number of artists. Mary Gaucher.
I love Mary Gaucher.
Amy Spies.
And I love Jamie Harris, her partner.
Yeah, that's right.
She's one of my favorite folk artists. So
she's great.
I love her. Yeah.
So Nielsen came highly recommended from Hannah Miller, actually.
Wow.
I loved her music and I was like, who did you record this with? And so Nielsen had me come into Skinny Elephant Studios in Nashville.
Okay, right
and here. They did a great job. It was a wonderful band live setting. What I loved about what he did is he wouldn't let me do any more than three takes.
Really?
Yeah.
He wanted a very authentic, just you and a mic, that kind of thing?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Plays, you sing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a lot of the takes are like, you know, one take with a few, you know, adjustments if needed.
Can't be more authentic than that. I tell you, that's great. That's fantastic.
It definitely was like, wait, what?
Challenge. What a challenge. Can you play us something else off of this Wildflower Moon
Absolutely.
Record? And as we get ready for the break, I want to hear one more song and the story behind it, of course.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's what we do, live around the dining room table.
I'm gonna play a travel song then.
Good.
So I just talked about traveling quite a bit.
Let's do it.
They told me nothing like a home of your own, putting down those roots so deep. Same day again and again. Well, it's not me, never been the type to be good at planting a garden and all my seeds, dandelions flying in the wind. I carve the curves and lines long in other roads. They told me where I am. The road is like a river coursing through my vein. I drink it like a glass of summer rain, intoxicating and evergreen. I'm drunk on wheels and gasoline. Something sweet by waking up in the forest with the morning dove singing to me through the dawn. I don't need to spend another year of my life or 2 weeks in Florida when I can't sleep every night where I belong. I carve the curves and lines long another road, the highway signs don't tell me where I'm going. They tell me where I am. The road is like a river coursing through my vein. Drink it like a glass of summer rain. Intoxicate and evergreen. I'm drunk on wheels and gasoline. Oh. Seen a ghost herd kicking up the dust. Northern lights across the great divide, close enough for this traveling girl to touch, to touch, to touch. I carve the curves and lines long another road, the highway signs don't tell me where I'm going. They tell me where I am. The road is like a river coursing through my vein. Drink it like a glass of summer rain. Intoxicate and evergreen. I'm drunk on wheels. Yes, I'm drunk on wheels. Yes, I'm drunk. On all of my wheels and gasoline. Oh.
My goodness. Tyshawn is our guest on the Songwriter Connection. Just a beautiful song. Some great imagery in there, and it's not the kind of drunk that can get you a DUI either. But I'll tell you, that's a cool comparison there. Cool, like, metaphor for what the road does to you, right?
I wrote that with Hal O'Dell.
Did you?
He would love to hear that you like that line, because that was his pitch there.
I love me some Hal. He's been on the show a while back, so
he's a
great
awesome
guy. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back. Tyshawn is our guest.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Again, I'm so glad that you have joined us on The Songwriter Connection Podcast. I'm Dave, and please, if you would do me a really big favor, I would appreciate this. Even if you're not listening on YouTube... Go to YouTube, find Songwriter Connection, and subscribe and hit the like. So we're hoping that one day we could definitely monetize from there as well. Going into the show, we are getting pretty close to the 2 million stream mark, and that's thanks to you spreading the word, and I can never thank you enough for that. Our guest today came to Nashville from San Diego, but she grew up in Santa Rosa, California. That's near San Francisco, isn't it?
This way via Seattle. So
Seattle.
Not close to San Diego.
Did I say San Diego? And the reason why I said that is because I just came back from San Diego. I meant Seattle. Were you there during the grunge years?
No. That I Yeah, so I grew up in California, and then I moved to Seattle in 2005,
So it was past that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What brought you there?
I went to Cornish College of the Arts. It's a small liberal arts school.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Yeah, so I wanted to... I couldn't afford a small liberal arts school. And so what I did was get my AA first and then transfer transfer over. And then I got... It was fun because I got to do... just music, because I got all my extra, I got all my other requirements out of the way. Yeah. So for 2 years, I just got to study music. So I got to do all the jazz side of things. I got to do all the classical. So when I graduated, I have a independent composition major, which means like I took all the composition classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that probably helped you a lot in your career, huh?
Yeah.
Was guitar absolutely. Your first instrument?
No, piano was.
Piano. So mm-hmm. do you still play a little piano today?
Yeah, I still play piano. Mm-hmm. And my dad would be thrilled that I brought up the piano because like we couldn't afford lessons when I was growing up. Mm. And so my dad and I would clean my piano teacher's yard every Sunday.
Oh my.
Yeah. And so we did that for years and years and years. I to this day hate doing house or yard work.
Yard work, yeah.
Yeah. And the piano teacher's house was right across the street from a church. So every Sunday I would hear Reverend Coffee and his congregation, and they were beautiful. Baptist church. They were awesome.
Great voices.
Oh, so good. And in fact, my first big gig, I was connected again with them, and they had me come out and play at this big venue and for Martin Luther King's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
That's great.
So I play piano to bring it back. Piano. Yeah.
Was your dad musical?
Yeah, he plays the guitar, but he would tell me that he doesn't play the guitar. No. He played it enough to... play a couple chords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So piano was first and then guitar came along or just kind of the same? And did it help you having played piano first, picking up the guitar?
Oh, yeah. Piano does help. I think for a lot of my students, they learn how to find notes on the piano. They don't have to learn to play it per se, but having that visualization in your head really helps.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, because the guitar is just not set up visually as well as the piano is.
You study the theory then, musical theory.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm a huge theory head. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I never was until quite recently, moving to Nashville and learning more about it. And the curiosity got the best of me. Why does this work and this doesn't? And does it work? Can you make it work? It's interesting. I think you can go far down that rabbit hole, can't you?
Yeah, totally. Well, and I run a weekly songwriting group.
Yeah.
And the first session I do the way it works is we do 5 weeks in a row and mm-hmm. my students have to turn in a song every week.
Nice.
And so one of them is like a lyrical challenge. Another week will be a melodic challenge. Another week will be a chordal challenge. And so when we do the chordal challenge stuff, I love bringing in some of the tricks that are going on these days.
Yeah.
You know, like games like don't play the one until you get to the chorus.
The one, which would be the root chord.
Yeah, right? The root chord until you get to the chorus.
Until you get to the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's called hide the one.
Hide the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, my next songwriting session, we're going to have to try that.
Oh, I have so many. So my fun thing I love to do with my students... and in my groups it's all about games. So you're writing songs quick. You have a game that you need to do every week.
I'll turn us on to some other games. Hide the one I like. We're going to try that. What else do you do?
Okay. So another one that I love, is called Clap It Out. If you listen to some of your favorite songs and, I'm mostly talking like, this usually works for up tempo better. Clap out what the singer is singing and you'll notice the patterns within the rhythm. If the rhythm is not interesting, then the lyrics have to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
So if you're a lyric heavy writer, try starting with your rhythm first so that you work that part of your brain, that part of your tool chest.
That's awesome. And I want to tell you, I had a friend I used to be with NSCI, and I was one of the coordinators in Cincinnati. And a gal I still love to this day, and we wrote some really great songs, Chris Thompson, who's a lyricist. But when she brought the lyric in for review, she would clap along, and it would just, the cadence was so amazing that it was easy to find where the melody was. And like, Chris, I miss you. If you're listening, I miss you. We got to get together again. She was a great lyricist, but very much kind of clapping along with what she did. And you could, because it was just so right on the beat.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a cool exercise.
Yeah. Another one that's another rhythm part of this is called Early On Time Late. And so
Early On Time Late.
Yeah, Early On Time Late. So the game is look at a song you like. Uh-huh. This is really popular in pop right now. Okay. And think about, look at whether the lyric comes in before the downbeat. Uh-huh. So is it dugga dugga da? That's early. Dugga dugga da, right? Or is it on time? Da na 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 na. It's right on top of the beat.
Yep.
Or is it late? Dugga da da na na na.
Notice these things.
Yeah, and then like look at what you're doing in your sections. If you are on time every section, then you don't have a lot of diversity between your parts.
And there has to be that contrast.
You need a little contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes it's like a song sounds, the lyrics are great. There's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but everything starts on the downbeat. So I'll be like, what would happen if you just wait? Let's like verse one, hang back two beats and then come in.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. We're so used to the 2-4, you know, the backbeat, right?
Right.
Ever since what? Early rock and roll days, the backbeat. But are you noticing a change away from that these days in pop music?
Like hitting on the 2 and the 4?
Yeah. It's 1 and the 3.
Definitely. I mean, like, yes, the 2 and the 4, super solid. It depends on whether you swing in it or not. Like, yeah. if it's swing, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
2 and the 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Listen to that in songs. And of course, I just love, you know, I'm here, especially in traditional country music, going back to the waltz, 3-4 time.
Oh, I love.
Oh, I do too.
I can't stop writing 6-8 or 3-4 songs.
6-8. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Well, let's hear another one. And thank you for letting me pick your brain about that. That's this is valuable stuff on a podcast called The Songwriter Connection. This is exactly what I was after. So,
yay.
How about another great song?
Okay.
I love just sitting here watching you play. You're very good on guitar.
Thank you. I'll do a 3-4 song.
Yeah, let's do a 3-4.
We just talked about it.
Tennessee Waltz.
Remember nights we laughed out loud. We didn't care if we woke the town. Drunken fools who refused to go to bed before dawn. And now we tiptoe through this house. Quiet ghosts when the sun goes down. For if she wakes, the walls will shake. Poor tired little one. Baby sleeping. Now it's time for two. I'll pour the wine and we'll fine dine on old carrots too. Babies sleeping, can I have this dance? Twirl me around in my bathrobe gown, a kitchen light romance for me and you. This lullaby rendezvous.
Yeah.
It's been so long since we could find a moment here of peace and quiet. Wanna hold you, pull me close to find the love we knew. Our little one is fast asleep, dreaming of life's mysteries. What she don't know is we love the moment when the day is through. Baby's sleeping, now it's time for two. it's two babies sleeping. Can I have this dance? Twirl me around in my bathrobe gown, a kitchen light romance for me and you. This lullaby rendezvous. It's just me and you. This lullaby rendezvous. Shh, she's sleeping. Be quiet.
Don't wake the baby.
Don't wake her.
That's beautiful. I was listening to your music this morning, and that one came up, and it really hit me. That's a good song.
Oh, thank
Incredible.
You.
Incredible. Solo writer, did you
That's
write
that? A solo write.
Yeah?
I do a few of them.
You do write some songs by yeah. yourself.
I do write them by myself, too.
Sometimes yeah. you got to do that. Here in Nashville, we run into this. Everybody seems to want to co-write today, and that's the trend, but it don't always have to be. Sometimes there are special songs that only you can write.
Yeah.
That's really cool, and I love that style. There's the jazz part of you coming out, huh?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And, as a side note, every time I'm in a co-write, I'm like, ooh, you guys want to do jazz chords? And they're like, no.
Well, I'm
so,
there.
Like, so I guess all my solo writes are like the jazzy ones.
That's okay with me. I like that. Absolutely like that. Personally, let's talk about you're married. You have a little one of your own.
I do.
So there must have been a little influence there in that song. You have a daughter, right?
Yeah, I have a 5-year-old daughter. Her name is Sequoia.
Oh,
and yeah, and my husband makes music with me too. He's a trumpet player and then also beatboxes and loops it.
Wow.
So yeah, so
you guys did the duo thing for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, and yeah. we still do. It's just, you know, like babysitter yeah, issues. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that song is about putting our daughter to sleep.
Aww.
Yeah, she was she still is a hard sleeper.
Is she?
I should say hard to put to sleep.
Oh, hard to fall.
Sleeper.
Yeah,
like we.
So does mommy sing her songs and stuff to put her to sleep? Or?
Yeah, she has a couple songs that I've written her that help her go to sleep that she knows are her songs.
Nice.
But yeah, for a long time we would bounce on one of those, exercise balls to help her go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And, we went through 3 of them. We broke 3 of them putting her to sleep because she just was such a fussy kiddo.
Oh
yeah.
Too bad.
So to this day, she wakes up in the middle of the night and then comes and finds us and crawls into bed and, you know. If I'm tying one on and in the studio and working hard, she goes and finds me and she'll be like, Mom, it's bedtime. So it's funny because I put her to sleep and then sometimes she puts me right to sleep after that.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. At that age, is she showing any signs that she has musical talent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in fact, I've been teaching her ukulele.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been taking lessons and she's doing really well. I mean, she's going to get her own ukulele soon because she's that's using nice. My nice one. It's about time she gets her own.
I should have had you bring the ukulele. I don't think we've had anybody do a ukulele song here on the podcast yet. Well, next time.
Next time.
Next time, for sure. Is that an easy instrument to pick up? If you don't know how to play an instrument, is that a good one to start?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great for small hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like it better than starting kids on the guitar.
Yeah?
Yeah, because first of all, it can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then kids can really get their fingers curled around those strings easier. They're nylon, and they're smaller and easier to tune and that kind of thing.
So you don't have to build up those calluses.
Yeah, not like we suffer through, huh?
Yeah. Nice as an educator. Can anybody write a song?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, because everybody has a story.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, last night was the first session of my... my songwriting class runs every 5 weeks, and last night was the first night. And I have 2 gals in there that have never written a song before. Mm-hmm. And when we finished last night, I always write a like a verse and a chorus with them so they can see how easy it is to do. Mm-hmm. And one of the gals go, oh my God, this was so exciting. She's like, I never realized I could, it was this easy. And so yes, everyone can write a song. I think where the craft comes in is that rewrite stage, right? Because we can all write a song, and then we get to that point where we're like, okay, maybe I'll take a crack at try rewriting it, tightening it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing I want to say, though, is that a lot of times what stops us from doing the things that we want to do is our internal critics.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to turn off those little inner voices.
Yes, absolutely. But they've done studies that if you can get past the 20-minute hump, that you'll have a second wave of creativity.
Wow.
So for anybody out there that wants to write a song, feel free to contact me and I'll walk you through all you need. But if you're doing it on your own, set yourself a timer for 30 minutes.
Okay.
So you can get past the first critic wall.
Okay.
Because the first wall is going to come right about 20 minutes. You're like, this is dumb. I can't do this. And if you can go past that, you'll get a flood of creativity.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you've not heard the Tom Douglas interview, which was episode 200, go back and find it. Tom describes that that negative voice as this little rat. Yeah, sits on his piano and tells him he can't do it, or that stinks, you know. And he talked about learning to pick it up by the tail and, you know, doing away with it and getting past that. So if you just wait, try to get through 20 minutes, huh? 30
yeah.
minutes for that second wave.
And
that's great.
I think of my critics as flies.
Flies.
Yeah, flies in the room. You know when you get flies in the room in the summer?
Yeah.
They're just bugging you?
They bug you.
Yeah, so like I'll have my students literally like get up, go outside, let the flies out, take a nice breath outside, and then come back to it.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
When you get stuck, yeah. Get away from it for just a second and come back.
Yeah,
that's an idea.
Going outside is a trick for kids. So like whenever my daughter would cry or get obsessed about something, as soon as we got outside, she would drop it. So a lot of these tools are like, they're kid tools, you know? So
yeah.
Take
that's
them
cool. We all got a little child in our mind, right?
Mm-hmm, so absolutely.
It's cool, man. That is really cool. So go back again. Is it the 20, what you call that? 20 minute rule? 30 minute.
That's a 20 minute.
The 20 minute.
You got to get past 20 minutes.
Got to get past 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can we call it the 20-minute rule?
Yeah, let's call it the 20-minute rule.
20-minute rule. I think we're going to call that episode the 20-minute rule with Tyshawn.
Yeah.
Hey, before you play a song to take us out, I want to. People are going to want to contact you and find out more about your lessons and things. And where can they reach you?
Yeah, so my name is Tyshawn, T-A-I-S-H-A-N. Mm-hmm. And my website, Tyshawn Music.
Check it out. It's great.
Yeah, .com. Mm-hmm. If you want to check out my school stuff, it's Tyshawn Music School. .com.
Good.
All the socials are Tyshawn Music, so you can find me all there.
And can they get your record there too?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Good. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for bringing that to me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Signing it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why don't you do another song? Want to do something from that record or something brand new? Or what do you feel like?
Oh, what do I feel like?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do something from that.
And you use different tunings, which I love too.
Yeah, I also lost my tuner, so that doesn't help as much.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it fell off.
No.
What's important to to me. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm trying to see the way. I'm trying to see the way. Windows rolled down blue in front of me, sing it loud, feeling proud to be on my own again. Clouds above, blacked up underneath, feel the wind, smell the evergreen spaces, all I need on the road back to me. Got a destination, but no map in my hand. Yeah, maybe I'm a risk taker, but I know who I am. Gotta trust in something, but I don't know its name. But I'm getting somewhere, 'cause I've got a little faith. I've got a little faith. Windows roll down blue in front of me, sing it loud, feeling proud to be on my own again. Clouds above, blacked up underneath, feel the wind, smell the evergreens. Space is all I need on the road back to my heart, my home, my who I wanna be, my blood, my bones, that girl inside of me. Heart, my home, my who I wanna be, my blood, my bones, that girl inside of me, yeah. Ooh. Windows roll down, blue in front of me, sing it loud, feeling proud to be on my own. Underneath, feel the wind, smell the evergreen. Space is all I need on the road back to me. On the road back to me. On the road back to me. On the road, yeah, yeah. On the road back to me.
Beautiful. Tyshawn, our guest, and I said it right that time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
T-A-I, first name.
S-H-A-N.
Look for it. I can only listen to about 200 more songs from you. I wish we had more time. Love your voice, love what you do, and I wish you continued success. Thank you for taking time to be on our show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dave. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. And for you listening at home, back up and listen to some of these songs again. Try the 20-minute rule at home and just do what I always say, write on. W-R-I-T. Write on!
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening. Keep creating and keep the melodies alive.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.